Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ here in Hamilton, and we're here with the program with my good friend and companion in this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today, and we hope that as we discuss our topic of this hour that you will remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, please do so. The number is 254-654-3200. Let me go back over that again. 254-445-2473. I was giving half the radio program and half my own personal address, so it got mixed up. But again, that's 254-445-2473. Now, you can also email us. You can email at dspoppy@yahoo.com. And I'll have my computer right here, and if you email a question in, we'll talk about it. But again, we want to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd love to have you to call in and make a comment. And we'd also like for you to, if you're listening, of course, if you're listening to me, you're listening, I want you to tell other people about our webpage where you can listen in live stream this program and hear it on the web. And we're thankful also to Ryan Smithy, who preaches for the 4th and Stewart Congregation of Brownwood, who makes our webpage available, and also all the past episodes of the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible are on there. We encourage you to go and listen to the episodes of the past. Now, we want to you to remember that last Monday we were talking about how that we are becoming a nation more and more, David, that they're wanting to silence God.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 50 years, if not even more, the world has tried through humanism and atheism and evolution and so on, try to stop the mouth of God and stop the mouth of religion. And all of this difficulty is coming under the guise of what some people are telling us the founding fathers believed in, and that was the separation of church and state. Now, David, we talked a lot last week, didn't we, about this very issue of the separation of church and state.
Yes, and all of our listeners, they know about this separation of church and state. Everyone that is listening to this program, you've heard about the separation of church and state. You hear it from your politicians, you hear it in the newspaper, you read it in the newspaper, you hear it on the news, and it is even being taught in our schools, Tom, the separation of church and state. And as we mentioned last week, the founding fathers didn't believe that.
No,
the Constitution doesn't teach that, and yet under the guise parading this conspiracy against silencing God and against taking God out of the out of the mix and His Word and His will out of the mix, they throw this separation of church and state out there, and every time something happens that a certain politician doesn't like, well, what about the separation of church and state?
And as a result of that, what are we doing? We're moving prayer out of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to remove the Ten Commandments from various places. I'm just constantly, people are trying to remove, well, in God we trust, off our coinage. And we need to realize that that's not what the founding fathers stated. That's not what they believed. And we established that fact very clearly last week.
Right.
But what's interesting to me, David, is that the very people who thunder separation of church and state, they don't always fulfill what they claim to believe, do they?
No, and as a matter of fact, this particular administration that we have in Washington, D.C. right now as we speak is an adamant supporter of this idea of the separation of church and state and the silencing of God. You've got to get God completely out of the picture, according to this bunch that's up there right now. And they are an enemy, by the way, to Christianity and Christian principles.
So what they're saying then is that religion and politics do not mix.
That is what they cry from the hilltops.
Isn't that interesting, David?
It is certainly interesting.
Especially in light of what's been happening here in the last few days with one called President Obama.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what we've heard in the last couple of days, and it's been the topic of conversation now for 3 or 4 days, or maybe even longer than that, this national prayer breakfast that he spoke on the third day of February of this year.
That's right. You know, and it's interesting to hear he's gathering all of these people to pray about the nation, evidently. And you know, we have no problem with praying and eating breakfast for that matter. But it's interesting to me that this very one who claims to believe in separation of church and state would also bring up the idea of what would Jesus do.
And you know, it's been several years now since these little bracelets were passed out. I don't know who came up with the idea, but it was WWJD. And a lot of the teenagers, a lot of the young adults would wear these bracelets on their arms, on their wrists. And it stands for what would Jesus do? And this was a very important thing, kept in the forefront of everybody's mind. Well, now, if you're looking at a situation, you just ask yourself, what would Jesus do in the situation that you're in? And it helped these kids remind themselves of where they stood in relation to God's will and what they were about to do.
Exactly. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and you can call us at 254-445-2473. So he's asking here in the context with really, David, with regard to raising taxes, he says, what would Jesus do? And then he gives an answer.
Yes, and the answer that he gives is an eyebrow raiser. And I think it's odd that he would even ask the question, what would Jesus do? In regards to his, in light of his belief of this separation of church and state idea. But he did ask the question, and then he gave his own answer. And his own answer was, quote, raise taxes on the rich. And then, Tom, he quoted Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 as his authority from God to impose this law of raising tax on the rich.
That's right. Now, if you want to know what that is, just hold your taters.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it in just a moment. But he used Scripture to give him authority, he says, to raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's doing then is saying he has authority from God to impose this law, and yet they're the very ones who are claiming separation of church and state.
No
doubt. Where do they get off with that idea?
Well, that's what makes this so odd. Now, it is amazing that when we look back at in the Old Testament, we see that the leaders of God's country, the leaders of the country that belong to God's people, whom He put there, they would constantly appeal to God for authority in everything that they did, and they got their authority from God. But now here we have a president who says, I don't care what God says, but now what would Jesus do in this situation? And he says he would raise taxes on the rich.
That's right. Okay, hold just one moment. All right, now we've got a caller on the line. We've got another point we want to make, but we don't want to get to it until after the caller, but... Caller, what's your name and question that you might have?
This is Jim, and I don't have a question. I just got a little quick comment.
All right, Jim, go ahead.
Because I think I know where you're going here, but, you know, there's two passages of Scripture that every reprobate or everybody who wants to do whatever they want to do will tell you those two Scriptures are in the Bible. they can't tell you where they are. They don't know Matthew 7:1. You can't judge me because the Bible says you can't judge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll quote that and then they will do whatever they want to do. And the other one is, well, you know, Jesus turned water into wine. Absolutely. You know, they're thinking, you know, so I can drink alcoholic beverage and because Jesus done it, you know. And this is where our president, I think, gets off. He throws out a scripture there, but he has no idea of the context or just wants to prove his own point by quoting scriptures.
You're exactly.
And that's all I got, y'all. Get on with your program.
Well, that's a very astute observance that you've made there. And what we are about to talk about is people taking scripture out of context and actually perverting the scriptures, the words of God, for their own purposes. And this is exactly what is taking place here when he quotes this Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, and he says, this gives me authority to raise taxes on the poor, appealing to God's authority, Tom.
That's right. You know, and you still with us, Jim? He's gone. Okay. Now, here's the thing that's very interesting to me, David, is that they are claiming separation of church and state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're claiming that, on this day, he quotes Luke chapter 12 and verse 48.
Right.
Nobody had a problem with it.
Not one single solitary soul had a problem with it on that day.
On that day. But what if
mm-hmm.
President Obama had quoted the following passages as authority to impose the law we're going to talk about in just a moment? I wonder how people would react to that.
Well, if for instance, had he quoted Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, where it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. What do you think people would have said if he had started quoting that one?
Or what about Job at chapter 31, verse 15, where it says there, did not he make me in the womb, made him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? And what are people going to start thinking about a verse like that?
Well, it's amazing that that he didn't quote more scripture than he did, if it is that he wants to appeal to authority for
That's
the
right.
things that he does and for the laws that he imposes. In the 119th Psalm and verse number 73, what if he had quoted this passage of scripture here that says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. If he had quoted these passages that we're talking about here, and there's another passage there. Go ahead and read that other one that you've got pulled up there, Tom.
In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, David, these are clear passages that indicate the fact that abortion is wrong. Now, what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if President Obama had quoted these verses and said, because based upon what the scripture says, we are going to make abortion illegal and we're going to renounce and recant the
Roe versus Wade
judgment? What would people then be clamoring?
Oh, they would be screaming to the hilltops.
They'd be saying, separation of church and state.
No doubt. Silence God on this matter. Separation
right.
of church and state. We don't need God in here. We don't need him doing it. But now, he didn't quote him for that. He quoted Jesus in order to promote his agenda to raise taxes on the rich. That was the only reason that he quoted that passage of scripture. Now, what we have here, Tom, is a clear reference to God intending people to procreate and recognize that even in the womb, God played a vital role in the formation of children. Now, this is what we have when we read those passages of scripture that we read just a moment ago that he did not read, but we're asking the question, what would have happened had he read those passages?
Well, people would have stormed the White House. They'd have been clamoring. The courts would have been filing suit because he was violating separation of church and state.
Right.
And yet they will negate that or ignore that whenever they can use it for their own personal gain or governmental gain, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Obama was using scriptures to prove the reason why he thinks we ought to tax the rich, and yet they wouldn't dare talk about this with regard to abortion.
Yeah, and this abortion law, this is a law, by the way, this Roe versus Wade law, that was enacted in 1973, and since then, we have killed right at 60 million babies because of a law that a president signed into as an order. Now, here, the baffling thing about this whole thing, Tom, is the fact that we hear over and over and over, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Now we've got a president appealing to the scriptures to authorize his own idea on a particular law and give him authority to enforce this law because God said that this law is okay, the raising taxes on the rich. But when we look at abortion in its context, and we see that today we kill 300,000 babies a year. Every single year, Tom, 300,000 babies, and yet we have more scripture quoted here that we just quoted just a moment ago, Genesis chapter 1, the one in Job 31, the two scriptures we quoted in the book of Psalm, and those are just that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
And God is begging for this country to take authority from him in that area and impose that law, and all you'll hear on that is the separation of church and state.
Now, David, I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your name and question or comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Barry.
Barry.
I want to tell you, I went ahead and turned over to Luke and read that verse. Well, what he's talking about there is he's making himself the master.
That's right. Now, don't get too far ahead of us now, Barry.
Well, wait a minute. But it's ironic as all get out. Go to chapter 13, mm-hmm. verse 6, and read 6 through 9. Follow along with me. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." You know, he may have just made his own sentence right there. He's been working for 3 years and done nothing. He may have his sentence without realizing it. Anyway, I just found it ironic. I wanted to share that with you and let you get back on about your business. Thank you all.
Well, I think there are a lot of people in our government who are digging their own grave. But, you know, it's interesting to me that here in this situation at this prayer breakfast, that he quotes a verse claiming raise taxes on the rich.
And using God as his authority to do so.
You know, and what he does kind of do is kind of picking and choosing here. I wonder if he ever thought about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, in lieu of all of the free government give-outs they're giving, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. Why didn't he quote that verse?
Well, that's not in his context.
Exactly.
That's not on his plan.
Yeah.
No, not on his agenda.
So what
not
he's
in
doing
his plan.
Here is he's using the scriptures when he thinks it's convenient for his
mm-hmm.
agenda,
mm-hmm.
but then other times he's going to say, well, it's separation of church and state.
Well, you see, had this president stood at that national prayer breakfast and uttered any of those passages that you and I read just a moment ago and then announced his intent, okay, this is what God says. Now, what I'm going to do, folks, I'm going to protect the unborn, and I'm going to the abortion rights activists, they would have swarmed the White House. Planned Parenthood would have been the first one up there, and they would have all been hollering separation of church and state. But he didn't quote any passages to protect the unborn. All he's trying to do is quote passages
promote his own agenda. What we have here is what Jim was talking about just a moment ago, a very, very convenient application of the scriptures, taking those scriptures out of context and not imposing the separation of church and state motto that they like to scream and cry out here.
That's exactly right. You know, and people are just flat out having a hard time with dealing with God's word. They just don't want to deal with it. They're wanting to, they're only using God's word for the purpose of their own agenda, mm-hmm. and they have no real concern for it. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, please do so at 254-445-2473.
Now, this man goes to this prayer breakfast claiming at this particular time, Tom, to be a Christian. And as a Christian appealing to God's word, he thinks that the rich should pay more in taxes than what they are paying right now. And he is quoting this as a Christian. Now, in the first place, I think he's only doing this to gain some kind of a political advantage from other so-called Christians out mm-hmm. there saying, see, I'm appealing to the authority of God on this issue. But, Tom, you can't make me believe that a man that would bow down on a prayer mat toward Allah and say a prayer with a bunch of Muslims can call himself a Christian and get away with it.
And then that just shows the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of what's going on in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And what's sad, though, David, is people will just swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
No doubt.
When they think about these things. Now, it's interesting to me, David, that he uses the passage there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 as his proof text for raising taxes upon the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Let's hear what the Bible has to say. And one of the things we're going to be realizing is it's very important for us as we begin to look at Scripture, and especially the one before us now in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, that we always look at it in light of its context. Now, here is the quotation that President Obama uses at that prayer breakfast for the purpose of saying it's all right to raise taxes. We're going to put it before you now, and then we're going to look at this more carefully and realize also before we're going to preface this with the idea that we're going to have to always study God's word in context. But here's what he said. He used the verse there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. It says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, him they will ask the more. And so he's using that passage to see there, Jesus says it is right, it is authorized, and I have the authority as the President of the United States to raise taxes upon the poor, or upon the rich, because of what Jesus said.
Now, you know, what is ironic about all of this, to those people who are listening to that, who do not have the context in mind of the Bible here, this may be sounding like he's making sense.
That's right.
That's the sad part about it. If you don't know where he's pulling the passage of Scripture out, you may think that he's making sense. It does sound kind of like that he's right here on this.
I know. But that's the problem with a lot of people in our world. They don't have enough Bible knowledge to fill a thimble. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. So call us at 254-445-2473. Now, David, it's important for us and very vital for us to always read a passage of Scripture in light of its context.
No doubt.
Because if we pick out a verse in the middle of a context, well, we can come away with it meaning anything we want it to mean.
Well, he even picked this passage of Scripture out of the middle of a verse.
That's right.
He didn't need just pick it out of the middle of the context. He picked it out of the middle of a verse and started reading there, or started quoting what he wanted it to say. But in order to get the context here, we've got to back this thing all the way up there to verse number 46 at least. verse 46. And if you've got your Bibles there, I would encourage you to read this with me. It's Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse number 46, and let's just see what he was talking about when he said what he said. The Lord of that servant. Well, I want to back it up. Back it up to verse number 42. Let's just get the entire context here. Who then is that faithful and the wise steward whom his Lord shall make a ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and here is the key, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that did not shall, and did commit the things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. Now, the parable here that he's giving us is all about knowledge and wisdom.
He's right.
Knowledge and wisdom.
And you would easily find that out if you would just read the verses previous to what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pull a verse out of the middle of a context and expect to know what he's talking about, because then you can place a definition on the more required of,
right,
with anything you want to. You can,
yes,
just fill in the blank. But when you look at the context, like you said there, David, he's talking about when people have been presented with more knowledge and more wisdom, God is going to require more of them.
Right.
In that they have this in their life, he's going to want more of you.
And, you know, this principle that he teaches in this parable, it runs throughout the New Testament.
Exactly.
We can read about it again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And let me read this. It says, for if the word spoken by angels, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In other words, we cannot escape. When we know what the truth is, we cannot suppress the truth.
God's going to expect a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely he is. He's going to expect a lot of us.
Now, David, we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your name and comment, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, my name is Mike.
Mike?
I've got a comment.
All right,
I'd certainly like to make. And, let me just say, I believe our largest problem is we originally had Jesus and our founders develop this nation the way we wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe to this day that what we're doing is we've become lazy in the sense we depend on the government to take care of everything for us, and we just won't vote in the way we need to. And to add to that, we have no reason to or right to vote who we want to vote for. They're appointed for us, and we vote on who they select instead of we want. And as you know, it takes too much money to run for the president or any other office nowadays, and the correct people for the job are just not able to because they don't have the money. I seriously believe all this. I believe in the scripture and all that, and I believe Jesus would lead us in that path if we possibly could.
Yeah, well, you're very right. It's very difficult to find a person that is qualified for this office. Are you still there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Have you got your radio on?
Yes, I do.
We're getting a little feedback. Could you turn your radio down just a little bit? So it's a little bit difficult to understand what you're saying. But as I understand, you are in agreement with us here that the founding fathers never intended for this separation of church and state to go as far as it has.
No, absolutely.
And that was never their intention in the first place. Not to even go so far, but it was never in their mind that this would occur. And, you know, you're so right, Mike, about it takes a lot of money to run for any office nowadays. And those people who are really qualified, who really would like to help our country, just can't afford it because the bigwigs, the unions and everything are putting the bill for the people that they want in there.
I couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent point, Mike. You got anything on it else you want to talk about on that regard?
No, sir. No, sir. That's just a true belief of mine, and you know, you can have it from there. Thanks for that.
Well, thank you for the great call.
You know,
we appreciate you calling
excellent
in.
Excellent insight by Mike there with regard to what we're talking and what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that's taking place, we have been like Obama, who is now president of the United States. And how did a man like that get to be a leader of our country, who is of Muslim background anyway?
Well, you know, people, I think Mike hit the nail on the head. We have become a country. In a country of people that have been so blessed for so long, we have become lax in what we actually believe, thinking, like Mike said, well, the government's just going to take care of us. Well, we get the wrong people in the government. They're going to take care of us all right, but not in the way that we have been used to being taken care of. They're going to start dictating to us what we can and cannot do to the point where we are going to entirely lose our freedom. And this separation of church and state that we're talking about right here is just so unbelievably hypocritical on the part of our president at this point in time, because he has been so influential in the separation of church and state part that this part doesn't even sound like any of his kinfolks.
Exactly. Well, we're up against a break, David. Time flies when you're having fun. And
yes,
we're going
does.
To come back on the other side of the break and talk more about President Obama's misuse of Scripture and also some things that's going to come as a result of that. Remember, the number is 254-445-2473, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met.
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, "I never knew you, depart from me." The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, "God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not." Do you believe God's word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the word of God? The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that is gone. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. The best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," he says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, let us focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible class begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30, midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Make plans now to attend.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. And right now we are in the middle of talking about the separation of church and state as the government would see it. And we're looking today specifically at the perversion of Scripture at the national breakfast by our president, Obama, Barack Obama. This is the main advocate. He and his entire cabinet have been an advocate adamant advocate, if you will, of the separation of church and state. Take God completely out of it. God has nothing to do with it. We're going to run this country based upon reason and reason alone, and there will be no faith injected into anything that we believe. Now, this is their policy, but now he gets up here last week or the February the 3rd, and he says in a national setting, at a national breakfast, prayer breakfast, that Jesus Christ gave him authority based upon Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, gets his authority from God to impose riches or taxes on the poor, on the rich. I'll get this right in a minute. To impose taxes on the rich. He asked the question, what would Jesus do? And he gave his own answer. Raise taxes on the rich. Now, this is a live call-in program. We've had a couple of great calls already this evening, and we would invite you to call in, give us your comments, your questions if you have some. And the number to call is 254-445-2473. And so he says, I'm going to raise taxes on the rich, and Jesus Christ has given me the authority to do so. But now, up until this point, everything that has come out of this administration is separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. And I think it is worthy to point out right here that the very same people who would have been outraged had this president quoted the scriptures that we quoted earlier, Tom, about defending life and protecting life, and life is in the womb and the life of the unborn, the very same people would have been outraged. They were willing to be silent and even applaud the president because of the words that he spoke about his tax plan with reference to Jesus Christ.
All I can say is hypocrisy.
Oh, boy.
You know, here's a man who is a Muslim in the first place. He claims to be Christian, but he's from Muslim background. And if that wasn't bad enough, when he did go to the so-called Christian religion, he had Jeremiah Wright as his instructor for some 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that ought to tell you pretty quickly that what he's going to know from the scriptures is not going to be very much. And he takes the scripture totally out of context right there in Luke chapter 12. And you read a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 2 the importance of having being held accountable for what we do, for what we have opportunity to do. And that's exactly what he's talking about there in Luke chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, David, it's also interesting to me that the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 25, he says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Now, we're talking about one who speaks the word of God.
Right.
"Don't refuse him who speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven."
Talking about the words of God
again. Exactly. So we're going to be held accountable. And so unto those who've had the opportunity, God's going to require much of us. We here in America, David, are so greatly blessed. The Bibles can be easily obtained. If you don't have a Bible, all you got to ask and one will be given to you. We have so much freedom here in America. God's going to demand of us for the opportunities that we have. And us as God's people, he's going to demand that we step up to the plate and swing with regard to our responsibilities and opportunities that we have as God's people. So to them, to us, much is going to be required.
Right.
That's what Jesus is talking about. It has nothing to do with the authority to tax rich people.
And this is what you get into. And our motto, and we say it over and over and over again. Now, before I forget it again, if we don't give this phone number out enough, please call us and tell us. Sometimes we get so busy talking we forget to do it. 254-445-2473. Give us a call. What we've seen here, Tom, is our motto is, you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. So we take the Bible, we read the Bible, we put it in the context in which Jesus is instructing us here, and if you take it out of context, it means absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
People use it for their own purposes, and it means nothing. So what we see here is a principle that Jesus has and is teaching throughout the New Testament, the principle that to whom much is given, that would be much wisdom, much knowledge, much opportunity, much is going to be required of him. And this runs throughout the New Testament, but it didn't start there. You see, the same Holy Spirit that is the author of the New Testament is also the author of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
And back there in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 3, Jesus, or God through Jeremiah, is speaking to his people. And he's talking to Israel, that would be the northern part of Palestine, the northern kingdom. And he's also speaking to Judah, and that will be the southern kingdom, in Jeremiah chapter 3, and beginning at verse 6, and he calls them his two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
His two daughters, and then he calls them a couple of prostitutes for what they've been doing. They have committed spiritual adultery in that they would not adhere to the word and the will of God. And I want to read a couple of passages of scripture here in verse number 7 of the Jeremiah chapter 3. And talking about Israel, he says, "And I said, after all that she had done these things, turn unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it." And so Judah should have learned from watching her sister Israel. He goes on to say, "And I saw when for all of the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly said, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah." Treacherous Judah. Judah wasn't sinning as badly as Israel was, but because she had the advantage of seeing Israel go into captivity, her sister, she should have known better.
And that's exactly the point that Jesus is making there back in Luke chapter 12.
Right.
With opportunity comes responsibility, and more is going to be expected of those people. It has nothing to do with one's wealth. Unless God has given you that and you've got a responsibility to use it wisely, it has nothing to do with taxation. We have opportunity to do the things God has required us to do. We've gained knowledge. We've gained wisdom. And like Judah, they saw and they should have learned from Israel, but they didn't. And God says, "I'm going to hold you accountable."
Even now, more accountable, because they knew.
They had seen.
They had the advantage there of seeing it right before their very eyes, and so more will be required of Judah than was of Israel. So this principle is set back here all the way in the Old Testament. It carries forward into the New Testament, and it never does stop. It goes throughout the entire book. More is going to be required of those individuals who have the wisdom and the knowledge and the opportunity and squander it all, and that is what the context is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately for the nation, we have a president who claims to be a Christian, who's willing to take God's holy word repeatedly out of context and subsume God's command for individuals in their conduct with each other and with him, and try to make the case for government's physical policy with that kind of perversion. You know, what happened to the separation of church and state?
Exactly.
Tom?
You know, it's amazing to me, again, the hypocrisy of our government claiming separation of church and state and yet turn right around and use Scripture and misuse it to try to propagate their new fiscal properties or their new fiscal policies and do nothing but, they're trying to promote their own will, really, as opposed to promoting the will of God. They're using God's word. Well, they're tearing it up. They're not using God's word correctly, and they only use it for their own personal gain.
This is a perversion of God's word, an adulteration of God's word, taking it out of context and trying to use it as their authority for imposing a law that they want to see passed. Now, what is significant here, there is no cry about separation of church and state as long as this is going on. Why is this so important to holler? Separation of church and state when it comes to abortion, but when it comes to raising taxes on everybody, every working man, woman, and child in the United States of America, now separation of church and state doesn't count. This is a King's X, you might say. Okay. We want this to happen, so this doesn't even count. But, you know, what makes this so hypocritical is just a very few days before this prayer breakfast, right. What happened, Tom?
Well, the president, through the Department of Health and Human Services, had ordered religious organizations, targeting more specifically the Catholic Church, to offer health plans that cover the cost of contraceptives and also abortion-inducing drugs. You know, it's amazing to me that a man could stoop so low to bypass God's law with regard to abortion, but turn right around and then use God's law to try to promote his own personal agenda and then use it out of context.
And this is the perversion. This is the adulteration that we're talking about here. This goes much further than even the separation of church and state. And for this reason, and you've heard us say over and over and over and over again, don't believe everything somebody tells you about the Bible. Take the Bible and read what God has to say for himself. Don't trust somebody to tell you what God meant here. Get the Bible out and find out what God meant here.
So the president then last week chose to pervert God's word to make the case for a tax increase. But he also chose to ignore God's word on life and in ordering Christians, while they claim to be one, to violate their Christian conscience on abortion, requiring Christian organizations to provide health insurance that would cover the cost of drugs to induce abortions. Hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
Who
total.
Claims to use the Scriptures to prove it's all right to tax the rich, violate the Scriptures when it comes to abortion.
Well, he's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to say, okay, God is for me when I want to raise taxes, but God is against me, or we're not going to have anything to do with God as long as we're talking about the innocent, unborn children who are being murdered at the tune of 300,000 a year. 300,000 a year. That is just almost unbelievable. Yeah. And he will not appeal to God at all for this. Not at all, but he appeals to God for raising taxes, and he has no ground to stand on because he's taken the whole context out of its text.
Let's think just a moment then, David, about this idea of separation of church and state with regard to what we've been talking about the last 2 days. You know, they claim that our founding fathers believed that there ought to be a separation of church and state. But then when we look back in history to men like George Washington, our first president, we have men like him who are claiming that we ought to, government cannot be ruled correctly apart from religion, apart from morality. We see that, of all the things that have been quoted by our founding fathers, we're told the most often thing that had been quoted was the Scriptures. And yet our government today is trying to separate the Scripture from government, except when it's convenient for what they want.
And then they have to take it out of context to get it done.
Exactly right.
Well, Benj, you brought this up. And I want to just quote one of our founding fathers, Noah Webster, and just listen to what he has to say. This man was in our government. He was in the founding of this Constitution of the United States of America. He was in on the ground floor of all of this. And he says, in my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the right and the privileges of a free people. Now, that's Noah Webster, one of our founding fathers, and yet we've got men people in positions to make laws and people in positions to rule in high courts saying that there's got to be a separation of church and state, and that was not the founding fathers' intent, and it is not found in the Constitution of the United States, which happens to be the supreme law of our land.
Exactly right. And you know, it wasn't too far into President Obama's presidency that he said, the United States is no longer a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows you how far away we're getting from what the Bible says and for what the founding fathers had in mind. As a matter of fact, the Newsweek in December the 27th, 1982, said historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding documents. How far away, David, have we gotten from what our founding fathers desired for our country?
We've gotten away so far, it's just unbelievable. What we've got here is a president and his administration that are trying to make the public believe that taxation on the rich is some kind of a charitable activity. But there is no free will charity in taxation. Taxes are not charity.
That's right.
And so you could tax these people all to death if you wanted to, and it still wouldn't be charity because charity's got to be a free will offering.
You know what's amazing to me, David? I've seen some statistics here lately with regard to some of our men in public office
mm-hmm.
who claim that we ought to be doing more for the poor, we ought to be helping the sick, and they tax us for these people.
Right.
And then you turn around and you look at what they have given to people. You know, less than 1% many times. You know, and President Obama, who's wanting us to tax us and tax the rich and help the poor, he's got a poor old brother there in Africa who lives in a hut and hadn't sent him a penny, hadn't helped him at all, lets him stay there. And you look at some of people's tax returns, some of our government officials, and they're giving little if nothing, and yet they want to require us to give, tax us, to give to the poor. And I'm for helping the poor, but I want to help it of my own free will, and I don't want to be forced into doing something that I don't want to do, and that's what they're doing with this.
This whole thing has gotten completely out of hand, and what is really irritating to everyone who would call himself a Christian is to think that we've got a man who is, depending on where he stands, he's either a Muslim here or he's a Christian there. He kind of blows whichever way the wind's blowing here. And when you pray on a prayer mat to Allah, you cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian. I don't have trouble calling him a Muslim. I do believe that's what he is. I believe it's wholeheartedly there, and he's an implant as far as I'm concerned. But that's neither here nor there. What he's trying to make people believe is that he is a Christian and that he appeals to the Scriptures to make his decisions in life, and that is a lie.
He does it only when it's convenient.
Only when it's convenient.
Otherwise, a separation of church and state, otherwise, hail Allah to him.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to use God's word to defend a tax policy that dissuades individuals from giving gladly and charitably to the poor as God instructs and is ignoring God's word in order to force fellow Christians into violating their Christian conscience. This is something which God cares about a great deal. He, just like we said just a moment ago, just days before he signed an order that is going to force people with our tax money to buy and provide abortion-causing drugs to be given freely to people that don't want to have to pay the money for them.
That's right. You know, and David, the Bible is very clear. You know, in Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says that righteousness exalted the nation and sin is a reproach to any people.
Mm-hmm.
When we think then about what's going to really make our government great, it's not going to be by taxation or lack of taxation. It's not going to be by military might or lack thereof. It's not going to be because of any kind of welfare programs that might be there or not be there. He says it's righteousness that exalts a nation. In other words, we need the moral fiber back in our government. And one of the troubles that we're going to have is if we don't get people in our government who have moral values, we're going to have trouble. You know, the Bible tells us a little bit about the kind of man we ought to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
It says there, for example, in Exodus at chapter 18, verse 21, here Jethro is giving Moses instruction as the kind of man that ought to be leading the people, and then therefore the kind of man that ought to be leaving our country. He says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God," not who? Not Allah, but God, Jehovah God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers, and so on and so forth there. We need men who are going to stand up for moral values. And David, really, in my mind, when I look at all this, I don't care about the welfare system. I don't care about what kind of military might we have so much as I care about moral issues. And the two major moral issues that are facing our world today is homosexuality and abortion.
No doubt.
And I want to know where our candidates stand on that issue. And if they can't stand with God on that issue, I can't stand with him.
Well, that's true. And what we've got in place right now is someone who believes in the absolute murder of innocent unborn children.
Mm-hmm.
And the promotion of homosexuality to the hilt in this country.
And he's promoting abortion even more so by this new health care plan.
Absolutely.
That he has.
Absolutely. You better believe he does. Now, the Bible tells us, and I want to be able to conclude with this because we're running out of time again. The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1 that we have an obligation as a Christian people to pray for our leaders. And here's what it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so we are to pray for our leaders, and we are to pray for our country, and we are to pray continually, and we are to pray fervently. And when we pray, we need to pray that our leaders be defeated in those things that are not right according to God, and that they be victorious in those things that are.
And that we have the wisdom to look out among us to find men who best qualify to fit this position. You know, we may never find the best a candidate out there, but we got to get the best one that is out there.
Yeah, we got to get the best one that is most available.
And as we've been mentioning a moment ago, as Jim mentioned, Mike, when he called in a moment ago, a lot of the people we had to choose from have been really chosen by the rich.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we're going to have to choose the best that we have to choose from. And we need to know where they stand, morally speaking. And we need to do what we can to bring this country back to God because righteousness exalteth a nation. Well, David, we're out of time. And we're going to close by saying, God bless America, God bless our troops, and let us pray for our country.
Amen to that.